Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Our phone number here, 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. If you'd like to call in and talk about the 2010 election results, and of course, specifically here in Colorado, the Amendment 62 campaign and the U.S. Senate campaign for Ken Buck versus Michael Bennett. Now, if you go to Colorado Right to Life's website, they have a preliminary analysis of the Amendment 62 election, and I'd like to begin by looking at that. And they begin with the conventional wisdom. The conventional wisdom is that only 15% would support a personhood 100% abortion ban. That's been the conventional wisdom for the last 30 years in America. Then they compare Colorado's 2008 versus 2010 campaigns. And personhood Amendment 62 lost yesterday, and it's showing at about 30% right now. 30%. So how does that compare to 2 years ago? Well, Colorado Right to Life has the yes on personhood vote grew from 2008 to 2010 by 10% as compared to their 2008 yes votes, in that in 2008, 27% was yes for personhood. And now it's 30%. So that encourages Colorado Right to Life. Now, there are a lot of people who, of course, every time they get into a battle, the abortion battle, they want to win the war right then in that battle, and that's understandable. William Wilberforce went 33 times with legislation to ban slavery in Britain. 33 times. He did it as service to God, in his preaching of the gospel, in his love of his neighbor. 33 times, and that was over a 40-year period, and then he won as his Christian ministry to the Lord God. In South Dakota, there was the suffrage movement where women were fighting for the right to vote, and they went to the polls 8 times. 8 times. They'd lose, they'd go back, and they'd lose, and they'd go back, and they'd lose. But each time they went back, they would increase by just a couple few percent. And then after their 4th loss, they got discouraged. They were up to 40-some percent after 4 elections, and they got discouraged, and they gave up for 12 years. And 12 years later, they tried again, and they lost about 15 points. It was the only time they went backwards when they had been discouraged and they quit. And so there was 8 elections, and by the 8th election, they won. And so, of course, that is an example of determination. And if they had not been discouraged, if they had not given up, they might have won on the 5th try. So Colorado Right to Life in their election analysis points out that when you look at the number of people, the percentage we got in 2008, like, for example, if you've got 27 people joined your team and then you got another 3 people to join, well, you went up by 10%. So you didn't go up by 10% of the population of the United States. You didn't go up by 10% of the population of Colorado. But when you had 27 people and you went up to 30, you went up by 10%. Well, comparing the 2008 yes votes, which was 27%, that went up 10% to now 30%. Voted yes, and that encourages us. That is an encouragement. In 2010, on Amendment 62, 30% of Colorado voted yes to ban all abortion. And that is with the opposition of the biggest names in the pro-life industry. Now think about that. We doubled the conventional wisdom. So the conventional wisdom is no longer valid that only 15% will support a personhood 100% abortion ban. That's no longer valid because with the opposition of National Right to Life and with the opposition of the Colorado Republican Party and with the opposition of the national Republican leaders and with the opposition of Denver's Archdiocese, and the Archbishop, with all that opposition, still a grassroots campaign doubled the percent of the conventional wisdom who would support an all-out ban on abortion, 30%. 30%. That's an extraordinary accomplishment. And increasing the percent during a time when there is such opposition from Christians and pro-lifers and conservatives to personhood. I think that's an extraordinary effort, and eventually we'll wear down our friends. That's what we need to do. We need to wear down our friends, those who say they're pro-life, who say the baby in the womb is a person, but who oppose personhood. We need to wear them down by showing them that they will be exposed. Gradually, they will be isolated. It will be because of them that personhood fails. And so that's important for us to accomplish, and that is happening. Just imagine if we were in Germany and there was a Catholic leader or a Protestant leader, and there were people saying, we need to fight to recognize that Jews are full human beings, full people. And the Catholic and the Protestant leaders said, no, this is not the right time. This is not the right time. We don't support that. Imagine if we were in America and there were Christians fighting to recognize blacks as full people with the full rights of personhood, and there were Christian denominations, Protestant and Catholic leaders who thought, you know, it's not the right time. We don't support that. What a tragedy of history. What shame would go to those leaders? And that's what we're seeing today. We're seeing children literally dismembered, ripped apart by Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry. And we have religious leaders, pro-life leaders, conservative leaders who say it's not the right time. We don't advocate that the government recognize the God-given right to life of unborn children. And that is just completely unacceptable. Could you imagine what would Dan Kaplis say if he's asked that question about blacks? Right? Remember he had Archbishop Chaput on, and they said why they oppose the personhood effort, because it's not the right time. Because unborn children, it's just the courts are not favorable to the personhood of the unborn child. Well, the Supreme Court ruled against blacks. The Supreme Court ruled that blacks in America did not have full personhood rights. And so what would Dan Kaplis say if there was an effort then to recognize that blacks are people? That blacks are people with full personhood rights. What would Dan Kaplis say? What would Archbishop Chaput say? I sure hope that they would say, of course we agree with that. Of course we're not going to fight against that. Of course we're not going to disagree. Of course we're going to encourage people to stand up for the full personhood rights of blacks, of Jews, and of children. But people get confused by politics, and they come down on the wrong side of history and the wrong side of righteousness because of political cowardice. So maybe we'll have, I think, you know, could you guys look into our archives? Because I recall we had a little bit of audio on that topic. So let's see if we could find that. If you can, let me know. So regarding Ken Buck's close loss, right? He's losing, what, 47%, 48%? They're 97% of precincts are in. And Ken Buck has lost to Michael Bennett, So it was a lesser of two evils race. And for people, I believe it's evil to do evil that good may come of it. But there are a lot of people who disagree with the Bible on that. And they think it's okay to do evil that good may come of it. Right? You should do something good with your vote. Do something good with your vote. Vote for personhood. Vote for those who say they will not kill a single innocent child. But some people think you got to do evil that good might come of it, which, of course, is a complete contradiction. But some people believe that. And so those who believe that, they vote for the lesser of two evils. And apparently a lot of those people voted for Michael Bennet, who's clearly the lesser of two evils. So if you believe on voting for the lesser of two evils, you would vote for Michael Bennet because he is the wolf and Ken Buck was the wolf in sheep's clothing. And Jesus warned us about the wolf in sheep's clothing. He warned us and he said, I'd rather you be hot or cold. Well, Michael Bennet is cold. He says, I support killing kids. I support Planned Parenthood ripping the arms and legs off of kids. That's cold. Jesus said, I'd rather you be hot or cold. At least if somebody's cold, you know what there's. You know where they're standing. Their heart is hardened. They're cold-hearted toward the innocent. But Ken Buck was lukewarm. Ken Buck asked for the money and votes of pro-lifers, telling us he would lead a state personhood campaign. He would lead it. He wrote that. He would lead it. Telling us he would introduce a federal ban on abortion. Telling us he would not endorse a pro-choice judge. He wouldn't confirm a pro-choice judge. He broke all those promises, including saying that he would confirm pro-choice judges. That's after he won the primary with the pro-life vote and money and support and campaign effort. And at the state assembly, Republican assembly, Ken Buck benefited from all that. Then he immediately caved when the National Republican Senatorial Committee said, look, we're ready to spend millions of dollars in Colorado, but you cannot be an extremist on abortion. Look, we get judges nominated who are pro-choice. You can't say you're going to oppose them. You'd work against the Republican Party. So Ken Buck said, I will confirm pro-choice judges, which is the promise of pretty much every politician ever endorsed by National Right to Life. If National Right to Life endorses a politician, it's pretty much because they've said that they will confirm pro-choice judges or they will nominate pro-choice judges. And that's how we got Republican pro-life presidents who have filled the federal judiciary with pro-choice judges. That's how it happened. It didn't happen by magic. It didn't happen by aliens coming down and putting pro-choice judges on the federal bench. It happened by National Right to Life approved pro-life Republican presidents nominating pro-choice judges and pro-life Republican senators confirming those pro-choice judges, all of which they promised to do during the campaign. So American Right to Life strongly opposed Ken Buck, strongly, because of the Buck circular failure strategy. Ken Buck had a circular failure strategy, which went like this. The courts are not ready for personhood. Therefore, I will confirm pro-choice judges. I don't know if you could understand Ken Buck's strategy, but it's a circular strategy for failure. The courts are not ready for personhood. Therefore, I will confirm pro-choice judges. Does that make sense to you? That's a guaranteed circular failure strategy. And so here is on Colorado Right to Life's homepage, and you got to look at this homepage. It's pretty fascinating. Regarding Ken Buck's close loss, after breaking every pro-life campaign promise he made, including by promising to confirm pro-choice judges, Ken Buck told the Amendment 62 proponents, quote, I'm not going to cater to personhood for 2% of the vote, unquote. How's that from Ken Buck? Telling the proponents of the personhood amendment after he broke that campaign promise when he said he would help lead a state personhood campaign, and then he said he's no longer even supporting personhood, let alone lead it. And he says, I'm not going to cater to personhood for 2% of the vote. And so here he is now losing by 1% of the vote. And the race has been called for Michael Bennett, who's the lesser of two evils. So if you advocate voting for the lesser of two evils, I guess you're glad that a Democrat won and that Michael Bennett won. You found that audio? Okay, let's go to the phones, and then we'll go to the audio. In Colorado Springs, Robert, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hey, Bob, you must be happy that Ken Buck lost, huh?
I'm very happy that we were campaigning against Ken Buck, Robert, ever since he broke all of his pro-life campaign promises.
So you must be happy that Michael Bennett won then.
Well, don't you think that voting for the lesser of two evils is a good strategy? Do you think that?
Well, you just helped put in Michael Bennett.
Hey, Robert, I'd like to know from you, do you think voting for the lesser of two evils is a good strategy?
Does it matter?
I'd like to know the audience would like to know where you're coming from.
Well, I'm just letting you know that by you knocking down Ken Buck, your child killer, Michael Bennett, got in.
Robert, we opposed Michael Bennett.
Not as much.
Oh, no, you're right. We opposed Ken Buck more because he is the wolf in sheep's clothing. See, let me ask you this. Who put the majority of federal judges on the bench, Republicans or Democrats?
It doesn't matter. Who was going to win, a Democrat or a Republican? Who was going to win?
Hey, Robert, I'd like to try to stretch your thinking outside of the little box of who won one election. All right? Because Republicans, Robert, Republicans have won thousands of elections over the last 40 years, and we have filled the federal judiciary with pro-choice judges. We filled it. And if you keep doing that, unless you wake up, you will keep putting pro-choice judges in the federal courts and the U.S. Supreme Court, and you'll have child killing throughout your life, but you'll get to celebrate now and then that you got a Republican elected.
I'm one vote. You're one vote. But you're a bigger mouth than
we each have a voice, and God holds each of us accountable. Jesus said you're accountable for every idle word.
You think that God's going to punish me because I vote for Ken Buck?
I think God will punish you, if you're an unbeliever, God will punish you.
I don't know. Even if you're a believer.
If you're a Christian, you will lose rewards if you support someone who says they're willing to kill a single innocent child.
Now you said it right. You'll lose rewards.
Right.
But I'm still going to heaven.
Well, to get into theology, and that's valid. We do different shows on that topic. But, yeah, it's a sin to support someone who says, I will kill some innocent children. And you say, you know what? I like you better than the other guy, so I vote for you. I support you. Hey, Robert, who killed more innocent people, the Nazis or the Marxists? Of those two.
That's in the past.
But principles of... Hey, Robert, please...
Matter.
Robert, if you have the courage to answer a couple questions, please do. All right?
Obviously, the Nazis did.
Okay. No, Robert. The Marxists killed by 10 million people more than the Nazis did.
Okay. Well,
all right?
That's all past, right?
Now, wait a minute. If you're going to say that you're going to support the person or the party that kills less innocent people than the other party?
By me voting for Ken Buck is killing kids.
Well, Robert, if you vote for somebody who says, I will put pro-choice judges in office.
That's not on my back. That's on his back.
No, not when he tells you. When, for example, the people who voted for Adolf Hitler, right? Adolf Hitler ran to be chancellor, and he got a plurality. He got the same percentage of the vote that Bill Clinton got when he became president. And
well,
so
why do you keep bringing up Hitler? That was in the past.
Hey, Robert.
We got to go forward.
Hey, Robert. I'm going to answer that question one last time. If you ask it again, we'll end the call. principles are true regardless of what decade it is, what century, or what country. And so you said it's not my responsibility. If I elect a leader, then whatever he does, it's his fault, not my fault. So I'm explaining to you, Hitler wrote Mein Kampf. And people knew that he hated the Jews, and they voted for him anyway because they thought he was better than the Marxists. So the people who voted for Hitler shared in the guilt of the Nazis. Is that true or false?
That's true.
Okay, now, when Ken Buck says to Christians, elect me and I will confirm pro-choice judges, then those Christians who elect him share in the guilt of the children he slaughters. So, Robert, thank you for your call. Please think through that. Thank you very much. Now, we've got this audio. Let's go right to the audio and hear some of this.
Will, thanks for your patience. You're with Dan and Craig, 630 Kitchen. I'm going to try to get everybody on rapid fire before the buzzer. Fire away, my friend.
Hey, Will.
Yeah, hi. I was really hoping Sarah Palin would be a pro-life leader, and then I heard her say that abortion should be returned to the states. And I heard you, Dan, say that in the last couple of days, I beg to differ.
Okay.
And I'm curious if we were actually talking about blacks, because at one point blacks were not persons. If we had the wrong Supreme Court, would you advocate that we should return the personhood of blacks to the states?
No, of course not.
All right, and that's it, because then they got rid of Will real quickly. And Will, by the way, is a producer here at Bob and Your Live. But of course not, because we're not accustomed to treating blacks like property today. We Christian, conservative, pro-lifers, as we are accustomed to treating children like property. And so if you go back 150 years ago, Dan's answer may have been different. I hate to say it. But Dan's answer may have been different, because the Supreme Court ruled that blacks are property. They're chattel. And so Dan should be able to say that human rights trump states' rights, and no state has the authority to say that you can rape women, kill Jews, or dismember children. Let's go to Thornton, Colorado. Debbie, welcome to Bob and Your Live.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, Debbie. What's up?
Well, I was at the rally last night with Amendment 62.
Let's tell the audience, it was at Maggiano's down in the Denver Tech Center in Dry Creek Road. It was a wonderful, upbeat, warm time of fellowship and determination to serve God and protect the innocent. And like at Tom Tancredo's event last night, it was like being at a funeral, at a wake.
But Debbie,
what was ours like? Was everybody depressed?
No, we were upbeat, and we're raring to go to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
I like what Cal was saying.
Cal's Astro.
About the churches. Until it starts in the churches, they need to get involved with
Christians. Yeah, that child killing will end when Christians decide it will end. Because most churches did nothing. Most pastors think that the story that Jesus told, the parable of the Good Samaritan, most pastors in Colorado think that parable doesn't apply to them.
It does apply to them.
Because Jesus told the parable of the Good Samaritan, where the priest and the Levite and the pastor thought they were too busy with their needs of their congregation to care about the innocent being slaughtered. And so they'd walk around the dead body. They'd look at the victim of the crime and they'd say, you know, that's too bad, but I got to worry about our budget and our building project. I got to worry about getting more people in Sunday school. I don't have time to worry about children being dismembered in my neighborhood. And that's right. Most churches are apathetic, and apathy means hatred.
Right, and they're just trying to be nicer than God.
Nicer than God. Thank you, Debbie. I appreciate your call. May God bless you. So it is hard to get people elected. You need a lot of money, a lot of influence, a lot of support. It's easier to collect scalps. It's easier to collect scalps than to get people elected. That's true. And 2 years ago, Colorado Right to Life went after Bob Schaefer in Colorado with a massive mailing to pro-life families, pointing out that he's against personhood. Even he said he's against personhood in principle. He's supposedly pro-life. and how he whitewashed forced abortion in the Marianas Islands to Chinese nationals who were working in American factories, textile factories, and if they became pregnant, they were forced to have abortions, and they were sent back to China, not as pregnant against Chinese policy, but as having had an abortion. And we had a gal, Xu Yan Zhou, fly to Colorado to speak out against Bob Schaefer for whitewashing, even forced abortion, when he went out to the Marianas Islands and went parasailing and his 2.5 days there trying to investigate whether it was true that they had forced abortion. And we got a photograph of him and his wife on a boat parasailing at the Marianas Islands. And so frauds who get elected on the backs of unborn children, and Bob Schaefer lost. Remember that battle with Dick Wadhams, the Republican chairman of the Colorado Republican Party? And now again, Ken Buck, in this climate, Ken Buck should have won by 3 points in this climate in Colorado. But Ken Buck stabs the personhood effort in the back. We've got over 500,000 votes. We got 130,000 people who signed the personhood petition this year. That's registered voters. 250,000 people signed the personhood petitions in the last 3 years. And Ken Buck stabs the unborn child in the back and breaks every campaign promise he made to the unborn child. Every promise. And you know what Dick Wadhams said when Focus on the Family said these Republican candidates, they're turning their backs on the unborn? Dick Wadhams said, that's all right, we don't need them. We don't need them. And so, Robert, what are you in this for, Robert? Are you in this for lower taxes and better health care? The nation that kills its children doesn't deserve low taxes and better health care. Our website is kgov, kgov.com. May God bless you.